Hey, Zach, I just wanted to tell you that this is Will Carter, and we're back with Movie Bonfire.
Man, it's been like how long?
I just wanted to thank you for, you know, taking some time out of your busy schedule to, like, go back and do some more movie bonfires. I really appreciate it.
I know how busy you've been. I have so much going on, you know. It's hard to make time, but I'm here. You know, you've guilted me into it.
Well, when you're up in the top levels of rungs of society, just remember the little people that you stepped on your way up, because I'll still be down here doing Movie Bonfire, and you'll be laughing at me as I waste my time.
If only any of that were true.
Where are we at today, Zach?
Today, I think we wanted to talk about a little movie called Burn After Reading.
Right.
That I think you said you really, really liked.
No, I didn't really like this movie.
Oh, wait, but you watched it twice?
It was so nice, I watched it twice.
Right.
It was so sucky, I watched it twice.
I really liked this movie, but I only watched it once.
Here's the reason I thought that you liked
it even more than me.
I watched it twice because it was a short movie, and it had a little bit of chuckles at the beginning.
You watched the whole thing twice for that reason?
Ugh. Tell me about it. Tell me why it's so great.
Okay.
Just because you if love you don't, because if, everything the Coen brothers poop out of their butt, you have to eat it up. And I don't use them to poop out. Like,
you use that because we're in a church setting?
Yeah.
We're in like a place. Hey, we're in a place where you're supposed to be praying, but there's nobody here, so.
There's like 10 churches on the campus of UFC, and we're in another one.
This is a small one with no air conditioning. I mean, no heater. Anyway, so Burn After Reading, if you didn't already know, is the Coen brother, the Coen brothers' latest movie.
Spit it out.
It's a big star fest, and it's like a light comedy follow-up to their Oscar-winning No Country for Old Men. Burn After Reading has John Malkovich, George Clooney, Frances McDormand, Brad Pitt, Richard Jenkins. Who else?
Richard Jenkins?
The boss. You're interrupting me.
Okay,
the guy from
ahead.
6 Feet Under.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're in love with him.
I like him.
Okay. Who else? Did I miss somebody? Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
So
she's instantly forgettable in this role.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But the basic story is that these two dumb gym workers, Brad Pitt and Frances McDormand, find a disc of data that they think is secret service data, but it's actually just John Malkovich's CD of his memoir. And so they try and blackmail John Malkovich's character, and hilarity ensues. I saw this movie the night it came out, and I was looking forward to it, and I really liked it. I thought it was perfect length. It's pretty short. It's really light. It's basically the kind of movie you don't know what's going to happen next. You're laughing the whole time. You're seeing a bunch of really awesome actors just getting into a role and doing all kinds of crazy things to make the role memorable, aside from Tilda Swinton, but I don't know, her role was just really uptight bitch lady, so.
Here's what I think, Zach. I think you were overwhelmed by the hype, and just because of the fact that we had Old Country or New Country for Old, what is that movie called? I can't remember.
No Country for Old White Men.
Which isn't even really that great of a movie, but you're,
oh, God.
Okay. So you're basically
wrong again.
Who can, you know, here's a couple of directors who can basically make one movie and make a second movie on the coattails of a pseudo good movie, which I would argue that it's not a very good movie.
Coen brothers have
case,
only made one movie.
Second,
are you joking? They've made how many?
Your second
movies
point
made?
About I didn't know what was going to happen next is completely BS. As soon as the Clooney character Harry shows up, he explains that his gun has never been. He's never used his gun in 20 years of his
life.
Wait,
are you about to give
This only happens in like the first act of the movie. So as soon as someone tells you, hey, my gun has never been fired in the course of my career, duh, I wonder what's going to happen in this movie. And it's not like they don't do it once. They do it like 3 times where he says that.
Right, but so you automatically know when his gun will be fired?
It's like a play. When you see a play and there's a gun in the play, guess what's going to happen in the third act? Exactly. It's stupid.
The gun will sit there?
No.
And no one will use it?
It's just indicative of the lazy writing in this movie. I mean, I read that the characters in this film were written for super actors. And to their credit, I think they do a great job. Even Tilda Swinton, they are playing a character to the hilt and obviously having a lot of fun with it. But there's more than a movie. There's more. You have to do more to a movie than to set up some actors with some characters. You have to have some plot.
This movie has a lot of plot. It has a lot of plot. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Oh, you got J.K. Simmons? I forgot him. He's the CIA boss guy who's down in a room inside the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's another crutch. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm not going to argue that this is the best movie ever, but I am going to argue that I finally understand the point of seeing a movie just to have some escapist fun. Usually I'm all like, oh, this movie sucked because it wasn't like deep or anything. This movie's not deep, but it is filled with great acting and a good script, regardless of what William Carter says. And it's entertaining the entire time. There's ups and downs and highs and lows, but it's great all the way through.
I'll just respond to that quickly before we move on. I'm all for escapist movies too, and I did find it at the beginning of this movie.
But
the
you
first
like,
half of this movie was escapist.
You like
as well.
Like Indy 4. You okay, like fine. Stupid
no, I did
escapist
not. I hated
movies.
That movie sucked. But okay, start yourself out with some good escapism, and then it was like they just got tired of making the movie, and they're like, okay, let's just end it. And it's just I deserve better. They deserve better. Those actors deserve better. It's just a complete like. It's a false start, basically. You had a good start, and then you just let it drop to the ground.
My ego isn't as big as yours. Right. I don't think I deserve better. I think that they gave me exactly what I deserve, which is a hilarious movie.
Just
a hilarious, lighthearted movie.
Brothers hyped for you to chomp up.
With John Malkovich wearing a robe, carrying a hammer. That's
John Malkovich
good stuff for me.
Is pretty good in the movie. Every line he has in the movie includes the F word. Every single line. We actually sat and counted it. He says the F word in every line. I'm serious. If they didn't have that word, they wouldn't have a script.
That makes it even better. Especially since you can't say the F word because we're inside of a church.
That's true.
And you're hindered. God, your language is hindered.
God is watching us right now. I'm feeling a little guilty.
Well, tell him to leave some comments on the site because.
All right, what's next, Zach?
Next is a movie that I haven't seen and I don't know if I will see until it comes out on DVD, unless you can convince me right now. The new James Bond, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
So tell me, why should I see this movie right now?
I don't think you should see this movie. I mean, here's the deal. I think that as I was psychoanalyzing myself after I watched this movie, I think...
So it made you psychoanalyze yourself?
Yeah, I was like...
So it's a really deep, hard-hitting
first
movie.
First of all, it's a waste of your time. And then I was as I was walking out of the film, I was like... And why were you suckered in to go see this movie, even after you hear some bad reviews? And what it is that the previous film, the Casino Royale, was highly original. It threw James Bond in a totally different direction, and that's what I think it is. I'm a sucker for originality, so anywhere I smell originality, I'm going to be instantly drawn to it. And so I got suckered into Part 2, which is a completely unoriginal, just a complete like sort of mirror image of what we saw previously, and it has no story, no villain. It's terrible. And
wow,
I think that's why I'm drawn to movies like, you know, The Dark Knight. Throw some originality there, and
or
I'm
like Indy 4.
No, I hated that movie.
But you were drawn to it
just because it's indie. Because
you like Shia LaBeouf. You have a crush on him.
Anyway, here's the other problem with the movie. I think that it was rushed. You can tell that they're probably saying, you know, we kicked ass on this new reboot of James Bond. We got to get one out there within a year. And hell be damned with some storyline. Let's tie some action sequences together. Throw a supervillain in there that's a piece of crap. And then you got a James Bond movie. Well, that's a Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie. What's his name? The new James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig James Bond. Which I think he's awesome, but... This movie just sucked.
So wait,
don't go see
who's
it.
Who's the new villain?
I don't even know. He's some little wormy guy. I don't know the actor. He doesn't have he has no personality. It's
who's
terrible.
The new,
it's some sort of environmental terrorism shit.
Who's the new Bond girl?
I don't know her name. She was pretty hot. I like the. I mean, her storyline is terrible, but she's pretty.
So that.
Oh, and the other thing too is the best James Bond. Here's. I'll give a little spoiler alert. Don't listen. But when it really lost it for
don't
me,
listen.
When it really lost it for me is the best James Bond movie is Goldfinger, basically in the one scene where the the Bond girl gets plated in gold and dies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The famous scene on the
bed. Right, right.
They do the same thing in this movie, except not gold. It's oil.
No way.
So when they did that, I was just like, oh, you guys suck. Can't you come up with an... I mean, wow. I can understand about paying homage to yourself, but just blatant ripoff is terrible.
And if you pay homage, shouldn't it? It should be better. Like, you should step it up, not worse. Yeah. Like, it should have been platinum, not oil.
That was bad. Plus, I think Bond should be rated R, because I think the PG-13 violence you get isn't amped up enough, and the sexuality that James Bond should be able to exhibit. You know, he doesn't have the ability to. You can't.
He's always censoring himself.
You can't.
He's like, hey, Strawberry Fields, you want to go back in my room? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Cut away, camera. You want to see this?
Was Dark Knight rated R?
No, it was PG-13.
I don't know how they pulled that one off, though.
They said, come on, guys. Heath Ledger died.
It doesn't have
Give us the PG-13. We need the money.
I think Bond should be rated R. I don't care what you say. You don't need PG-13 for that.
Anyway. Well, they made $70 million, though.
Yeah.
You got to have PG-13 for that.
It's the power of marketing. All right, what else we got?
What else we got? Oh, I went to see... I don't know if this counts, because we are movie bonfire, but...
If you're in Chicago, listen
up. If you're in Chicago, which you probably are if you're listening to this, I don't think we've reached the world quite yet. We haven't had time to propagate throughout the world. But I went to see a show at...
Propagate, good work.
Yeah, I know. At a Red Orchid Theater last night on North Wells, and it's called A Very Merry Unauthorized Scientology Pageant. And it's...
That is a long title.
Yeah. It stars 10 kids who are, like, between the ages of 10 and, I don't know, 14 or 15. And it's only an hour long. And it's hilarious. I was kind of not knowing what to expect. I was like, what is this going to be about?
So it's
And like, then I found out that it starred kids, like, actual kids. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible.
So it's like a Christmas pageant, but it's Scientology?
Right. So they're relating the life story of L. Ron Hubbard. And they start with, like, him being born, and they're dressed in white robes, like Polyphonic Spree, and they sing songs kind of like Polyphonic Spree.
I don't even know what that is.
Polyphonic Spree?
I don't know what that is. What is it? Is that a song?
No, that's a band.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's a band of, like, 25 people that are all in white robes, and they sing songs like,
I'm gonna have to
Hey, it's the sun. They sing, like, happy, stupid songs.
I'm going to have to look it up when I get back to my desk.
But this is, like, a miniature Polyphonic Spree, except that they're talking about Scientology.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's good.
The kid who plays L. Ron Hubbard, he's hilarious.
So it's, like, L. Ron Hubbard when he's a kid?
Well, he grows up, but it's still played by a kid.
Is it all kids in the whole
production? All kids. 10 kids.
Oh, my God. I have to go to it.
It's so funny.
All right.
And
mark on my calendar.
I know Scientology is an easy target, but they actually do a really good job of nailing them. And they actually discuss a lot of, like, their actual beliefs. And the kids are, like, so straight-faced. I've never seen such good comedian kids. They're, like, you would expect them to laugh, like, when they make a really good joke and everybody in the audience is cracking up. These kids don't laugh. They're, like, straight-faced.
How old would you say they are?
I already said they're, like, between 10 and 14.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. I was pretty amazed. Some of those jokes, towards the end, there's a kid who does an impersonation of first John Travolta and then Tom Cruise. Oh, man, this kid is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's so intriguing.
And they even went, like, with the making fun of Tom Cruise, it went a step beyond what I would expect them to make fun of. Like, if I saw this skit on Saturday Night Live, I'd be like, ooh. That's low. That's below the belt. This is like an 11-year-old. I was like, wow, that is awesome.
It seems like something you'd see, like, on South Park, because they're kids on South Park, and it seems like something straight out of there that they would make fun of.
But there's no cursing or anything, and there's no like rude or foul humor. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like lighthearted, straight satirical, but tongue-in-cheek. Like, they act like they're being serious, like how great Scientology is, but they're actually making fun of it. The script is really good.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to go see it.
Go see it.
All right.
And anyone that's listening, please, I completely recommend this play. Go see it. A Red Orchid Theater.
Your brother directed it, right?
No. it shows through December 28th. So instead of going to see a Christmas show this year,
yeah.
go see a very merry, unauthorized Scientology pageant.
Don't give James Bond 10 more of your dollars.
Exactly. Instead of going to James Bond and spending, you know, what, $22 yeah. on two
plus,
tickets
plus
for that.
Plus you have to pre-buy the ticket, so that's another $5
right.
surcharge.
So there's $25, there. $26 to see James Bond. Or you could spend, I think, $15 a piece, $30. Go see this show with 10 kids. It's awesome.
Think about it. You're in a city. Take advantage of it. Don't yeah. just go see the sloppy crap down the
You can see James Bond when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. Right. We're happy to be back.
Yeah. And God is happy to have us back. He just shined his light through his church walls.
Hopefully we'll be able to keep this up. It's a fun thing to do, and we're glad you listened.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Word.